night, and because we're at the end of the month, I consider this almost the end of the month, and we're at the beginning of a new quarter, I want you to consider tonight's discussion in terms of having the next 90 days from the 1st of October to achieve a specific goal. Whether or not you choose a goal that relates specifically to prospecting and recruiting, or you set a goal that relates particularly to retailing, I want you to really think about this next 90 days, October, November, and December, as a subset of your larger goal. And I know several of you are working on a 12-month goal and an 18-month goal, but it's real important to break those down into manageable sections, if you will. And I want you to consider the prospecting and recruiting piece when you're setting your goals, to consider adding in, you want to sponsor at least one person in the next 90 days, or you want to take six people to the second looks, or invite at least six people to sit with you and attend a webinar via the internet, or six people to sit down and do one-on-ones with. And then I want you to think about creating a viable names list of people that you actually will follow up with. And here I don't want you to think about using the same names list that you may have had for the last 6 months, a year, or 18 months, unless you're really at the point where you're willing to follow up with those people. Many of us made names lists years and years ago, and we've never had the courage to call those people. And until you get to the place where you're going to contact them, that's just an artificial list. So it isn't, I don't think it does you any good to say that as part of my goal achievement plan, I have a names list, when you know full well that it's not a list of people that you're actually going to contact. So when you consider the prospecting and recruiting goals, think about creating a viable names list of people that you're actually going to contact. And in the retailing area, in terms of what I would like you to think about these next 90 days, I also want you to think about product use in these areas. One, consider the possibilities of increasing your current retail by 100%. Now, for most people, that's not going to be as challenging as you might think. I mean, for Richard, it would be another amazing accomplishment for him. But for most of us, increasing your retail profit by 100% in the next 90 days is not that out of reach. So consider that as one of the items on your list. Also consider increasing your registered preferred customers by 50%. I'm not asking you to increase them by 100%. It might seem like you couldn't increase your retail by 100% if you only increase your registered preferred customers by 50%. But the reality is you can definitely do that, because you're going to, since you're going to use the new Maltalk, you're going to have your preferred customers buying more product from you. Therefore, your retail is going to increase. And also, I think most of you heard the voicemail from Rick about the fact that they're going to clear out the preferred customer files that are currently maintained on unfranchise.com. And it's really important that if you don't have your preferred customers who are considered active, and I believe the explanation was that they've had to have at least one order in the last 365 days, if your customers don't have that, their information is going to disappear from the system, and it's not going to be retrievable by a phone call to the company. So if you have preferred customers there, which of course I know you want to revisit now that you have a new Maltalk, and since you're back from convention, and you want to share with them that you're actively working your business, you need to make sure you go to the site and download that information pertaining to your customers, because you never want to let access to the people that you previously sold product to disappear. You don't know what's going on in their lives, and perhaps now would be a better time for them. So make sure you check that and ensure you have all the information on your preferred customers. So I think you can increase your registered preferred customers by 50%. The third element under the retailing and product use is to increase your product use by one product per month. Now, if we're talking these next 3 months, I'm really only asking you to consider putting on your goals a goal achievement schedule, increasing your product use by one product per month. And I think that we can all do that. If you haven't received your new home shopping list, then you need to get that so you can go back over the items that you're currently purchasing from elsewhere, and then lift the sheet up and see what you can purchase from yourself. Because you need to increase your comfort level with your own product. So you can choose them from the new Maltalk. I really think that using the home shopping list, though, is the absolute best way, because it's going to help you get familiar with what we have to offer and give you the confidence to begin sharing the home shopping list with the these new customers and prospects that you're going to be approaching in the next 90 days. And the fourth element in this area is for you to increase your IBV by 100%. Now, I know that for some of you, that's going to be easy because you don't have any IBV usage right now, and that's okay. It's just important to see beyond the fact that you're not getting retail profit for your IBV at the moment. I mean, that's really not the issue. The IBV piece is about exposure, and it's about increasing your network, and that's why you want to share with people what you have to offer through the IBV process. So in the prospecting and recruiting area, when we keep talking about a goal achievement plan for the next 90 days, consider sponsoring one, taking 6 people to a second local webinar, or showing the plan on the one-on-one, creating a viable names list of people you actually contact. And in the retailing and product use, consider increasing your retail by 100%, increasing your registered preferred customers by 50%, increasing your product use by 1 product per month, and increasing your IBV use by 100%. Okay? Now, when you think about what you're going to do these next 90 days in terms of the prospecting and recruiting and retailing, I think it's first important for you to consider what you do from the prospect's viewpoint. And at one point, we were all prospects, so this shouldn't be too challenging for us to do. But think that the prospect's view is that they want to know, do you know what it is you need to share with them? You know, do you know the information that you're going to be talking about? Do you have the brochures? Do you have mall talks? Do you have DVDs? Are you capable of sharing what you have? I know some of us who've had people on our names list and potential customers, and we didn't even know enough about our business, and we didn't know enough about our product to actually share that information with them. We're listening to people talk about having problems with their memory, and some of us didn't even know we had Vitamine to offer to people in the past, and let alone the fact that we have Cognigen to offer. If you don't know that, then you're really not capable of sharing what it is we have to offer. And that's what prospects, that's what we always want to know. When someone is talking to us, do they know what they're talking about? You know, can they give us the information that we need? Now, some can be capable of it, but then you have to get to asking from the prospect's view, are you willing to share what you have? You know, a lot of times we know something, we know we need to do something, but we're not really willing to do it, which leads to the next piece. Do you actually share what you have? In many areas, I know what I'm willing to do, but that doesn't mean that I always do it. Okay, I say I'm going to go to the post office and I'm going to talk to this person, or I'm going to call this person, and then I don't do it. So on my goal achievement plan, it says, yes, this is what I'm going to do, so that means I'm willing, I've committed to it, but I didn't really commit because I didn't actually do it. Okay, so prospects view, they're always going to want to know, do you have what you need to share with them? Are you capable of sharing it? Are you willing to share it? And then finally, do you share it? But think about when you first became involved with this business, and imagine the prospect is going to ask you, you know, some general questions. There's things people want to know before they decide to become involved with you. There's things people want to know before they even decide to purchase your product. One of the first questions I think they always ask is, what do I need to know before deciding whether to become involved with you? You know, what do you tell a person? You know, maybe the first thing you need to tell them is it's a real business. Yes, people can work it at different levels, but it's very important for people to understand, number one, it's a real business. They also need to understand that training is required. Many times we want to sort of avoid this area because we don't want to go for the main questions that are in the Getting Started Action Guide. Are you willing to travel for an out-of-state training? We don't want to ask that because we think people are going to say no. People travel for all sorts of reasons, and people go to all sorts of places to receive training in different areas of their life. Always allow the other person to say no. We need to stop saying no for the other person. So in terms of what prospects need to know before deciding whether to become involved with us, the fact that we require training is really important. Number three, they want to know that it's going to take money to do this business. It is really unfair and totally inappropriate to tell someone that you can come into this business for $99.95 because you can't. Realistically, it's $500 is a minimum. $500 to $1,200 to capitalize your business. Sometimes $500 to $1,500. It depends on how they're going to enter and what they're going to do. They need to have product. They need to have brochures. They need to have the support tools the DVDs, the audios, to have a reasonable chance for success with this business. So when we're sharing what people need to know, it needs to be that it's a real business, that there's training required, that there's money required, there's a time commitment, all that comes under the requirements. And, of course, that they have to become a product of the product. It's harder for us to answer these questions for a prospect when we haven't effectively answered them for ourselves, when we haven't been to trainings, when we aren't using our own products. It's going to become much more challenging for you to share that with a potential prospect. The second question I think many prospects are going to ask is, what will you do to help me once I become part of your team? You know, people do not want to be stranded. They don't want to work for you because most of the people that you're talking with already have a job. But they do want to know what you're going to do to help them. And I think some reasonable answers are, I'm going to sit with you and go through the Getting Started Action Guide, and I'm going to commit to giving you the equivalent amount of my time based on the time that this person shares with you they're willing to give. I'm going to work with you in terms of me being your sponsor and help you learn the things that you need to learn until you can step out on your own. Remember, the fact that someone comes into business with us doesn't mean that after we turn in their application, we're through with them. Absolutely, we're not through with them. The real work is just beginning. One of the other questions I find new prospects often ask, especially when you are sharing information about the requirements, and generally one of the steps I like to take with people is having them look through the Getting Started Action Guide before I even agree to do their paperwork. And the reason is because I really want them to understand that there are requirements and that we're going to follow a system, that there's pieces for me to do and there's pieces for them to do. And then you have a prospect who you may have had look at the Getting Started Action Guide, and their question is, do I have to do all of these things that are listed? Well, what's your answer? The reality is, yes, you do, but you don't have to do them all at once. The most important thing I need you to do is to be coachable. Sometimes we don't tell people that they need to be coachable because we're not coachable ourselves. I think a lot of times when you're teaching, the best student is yourself, because every word you say, you're reinforcing and you're learning. And I think that's why we struggle sometimes with considering the prospect's viewpoint, because it's still very much our own viewpoint, and we know that we maybe in some cases haven't stepped up to doing all of these things that we're therefore reluctant to ask a prospect to do. But prospects, people who want to make a change in their life, they want to know what it is they need to know. And, if someone is coachable, then the next question many are going to ask is, how long is it going to take me to get to this dollar amount? And my answer is always, it depends. It depends on what you're willing to do and your timing. Yes, it's a 2 to 3 year plan, but if you're not willing to start for a year, then it's going to be different. If you're not willing to make a names list of viable names that we can actually contact, then it's going to take longer. If you're not in a position to come up with the funds to make your initial order and buy your support material, then I'm not going to bring you in, so it's going to take even longer. So it's real important, I think, that we have some clarity about these issues before we engage in wanting to increase our prospecting and recruiting over the next 90 days. Another question I find the prospects have, and some of these questions they don't actually ask you out loud, but they're thinking them, and we need to be sharing this information whether or not they've actually articulated it. How will you help me identify qualified people? Well, that's an easy one. It should be an easy one for us. I'm going to host product previews with you. I'm going to host in-home kickoffs for you. I'm going to do two-on-ones with you. I'm going to do three-ways with you. This is the piece that many of us shy away from, because we need to be with them when they're beginning this process. And there is, I think, absolutely no way for a new person to identify these people on their own, because they don't have any background, they don't have the history, and they don't have a real understanding of what it takes to do this business. We're the ones in the position to have access to that information, and we need to work with them. But we need to be clear before we say this, and again, this is one of the reasons why we don't say it, is because we're not willing to do it. Okay? We have to be willing to connect with that person and do these things with them to help them get started. And that leads to, I think, is one of the last and maybe more serious questions for most of our prospects is, will you be there for me for the long term? unfortunately, there are many people in our particular business and throughout this industry who have brought people into business with them and sort of disappeared after they got their initial volume credit, and we don't ever want to be part of that. It's simply not the right thing to do. So when you are out there these next 90 days and next year and the year after that, you need to, I think, stay really aware of prospects' concerns, remembering that these are the same concerns that we all had. You want to know what you need to do in order to have a reasonable chance of success. And that means you need to share with people the realities of being in business for yourself. It's a real business with training needs, requirements such as dollars, and time commitment, and the use of product. I'm going to help you. I'm going to commit my time to you. I'm going to work with you going through the Getting Started Action Guide. As long as you're coachable, I'm going to help you identify qualified people, and I'm going to be there for you for the long term. Okay, that's the piece I think that's most important when you're dealing with and considering the prospect's point of view. Now, when you're working on these prospecting and recruiting and retailing goals for the next 90 days, the place that I need you to think about it from your individual perspective is look at what it is you're actually going to do. And we've talked about this area before, but does your calendar, your Palm Pilot, your computer, wherever you keep your information, does it clearly show that you have a business? And at the end of tonight's call, that is going to be the homework assignment for those of you who don't have this already done, but given that we're almost at the last week in September, we ought to already have projected what's on our calendars for October and by extension for November and December. Does it show that you have a business? Are there appointments there for calling people? Are there product shows or in-home kickoffs scheduled? Are there days that you're going to drop product off to people? Are there days for your follow-up calls? I understand there's going to be some activity spikes and there's going to be periods of time where you're not going to be as busy. But if you don't schedule it out, for sure it's not going to happen, because then the days are just going to get ahead of you and you're not going to realize it until we're at the end of October. And then you only have 60 days left. Well, 60 days to do a 90-day plan is going to be a bit of a challenge. So it's real important that you try to forecast now and make sure that your calendar indicates that you have a business. The other element of that is, does your checkbook or your bank account indicate you have a business? And here I don't mean the fact that maybe you haven't made the money that you want to make with this business. I mean, do you have business expenses in there that match to having a real business? Are you on transfer buy? Then your transfer buy payment should be in your checkbook. What about your ATG bill? Is that there? Are your supplies there for your office space? Or if you're working out of home, there's still some things that you have to have. Is there an expense in there for travel? Did you have expense for going to the convention or did you not go to the convention? Do you have expense for second looks that are coming up? Is your regional coming up? All of this information needs to be there. I'm not saying that you have to actually write this down in a separate place. What I'm wanting you to do is consider your options for achieving success over the next 90 days based on what's currently going on in your world. Your calendar and your checkbook are generally key to what is a priority in our lives, where our time is going, and where our money is going. You can almost always tell if someone isn't on transfer buy-in, isn't on ATG, hasn't gone to any training, doesn't project that they're going to go to any training in the next 90 days, that you are very unlikely to achieve success with your goal achievement. I don't know a way for you to get there without investing your time and some dollars. And the third element that I want you to think about from your perspective is, do you have a realistic estimated completion date for your primary goal? Okay. And remember, the 90-day goal that I'm talking about is just a subset of your overall goal, but success is really going to be based on those increments, you know, 90 days here, and then 90 days, and then 90 days, and then 90 days, and then boom, you're at the end of the period that you set for achieving a specific income level. And you're the only person who knows if it's a realistic estimated completion date, because that has to be based on your current activity and commitment level, which of course leads you right back up to what's in your calendar, what's in your checkbook, what's projected on your calendar, and what's projected in your financial budget as it concerns your particular business. Now, the reality is, I guess it's the reality and the challenge. You can make some money with this business if you fit it around everything else that you do. But the reality and the greater challenge is acknowledging that when you fit your business around what you're already doing, it's very unlikely to give you the results that you want. It just tends not to work that way. And that's primarily because many of you want quite a bit in terms of results from your business. But to do that, you have to have some of what I call displacement. Some displacement of activity is going to be required in order for you to achieve this particular goals in this next 90 days. It's just like if you go to school, or you go to work, or you spend time with your family, you have to give up something to get something. You go to work, you're trading your time for money. You go to school, you're trading your time, your own time, your family time, for an education, the potential for some more money, and maybe some free time. If you have a family, you have to give up something in terms of individual time and individual freedom, if you will, for companionship. Many times we make a choice that it's absolutely worth it, but we also have to understand that some displacement is always going to be required. And when we don't acknowledge, I think, the need for displacement, I think it's short-sighted. And it's definitely a setup for failure if I say I can fit everything in and I can do it all, because the reality is none of us can do it all. Without some displacement, when are you going to order your product? You know, when are you going to make the calls? When are you going to talk with people? When are you going to learn your business? Either rather that's sitting down and reading your career manual, or it's going to a second look, or regional convention, or to international convention, or planning now for leadership school in February. If you don't display something, when is this going to happen? I don't know how you can possibly measure your ability to reach your goal if something doesn't get displaced. Simply having the ability isn't sufficient. We all have a certain level of ability, but it has to be used in order to measure the effectiveness of it. If I can say that I have this amount of strength, that I can lift this, but if I never do that, how in the world is what I'm saying accurate? You have to be able to measure. If you don't have sufficient displacement in order to measure your true ability to achieve your goals, what is that actually saying about your commitment? It's one thing for me to say it, it's another thing for me to do it. But, you know, it's perfectly okay in this area to give just a little if a little is what you want in return. There's no problem with that. But I think we all know that, you know, in life, generally, to get a lot, you have to give a lot. And this business is the same. I mean, it's part of life. You can exercise a little bit, you get a little bit of results. You can work a little, you get a little bit of pay. You can go to school a little, you get a little bit of education. But think about all those areas and think about the amount of time you spend in money, time and money that you spend in those areas. You know, what were your results? You go to a fitness center, you pay for a personal trainer, you work overtime, you go to school for 4 years, 6 years, 7 years. Only you can decide if the results were worth the effort that you put into it. And that's the same with this business. All I'm asking you to do is to focus at least for these next 90 days on getting clear on the goals that it really takes to get to the level of success that many of you say you want to have with this business. Because I really don't want you to go to leadership school in February and not be clear on exactly what it is you're willing to do to get to the level of success you want. Because if you make the commitment to yourself now and truly measure what you're going to do over the next 90 days, and then you do it, then when you get to leadership school, you're going to be in the middle of the second 90-day period, which means you're probably, in my opinion, going to be two more quarters away from achieving the level of success you really want. But if you don't do this now, we go to leadership school in February, then you're going to be two quarters behind in getting to your next 12-month goal, and that's not what I want to see you do. But the challenges, of course, are that the business requires daily effort to get the long-term results. You have to absolutely get to a place where you see through the moment. And that's not always easy because you're actually working today based on what you can't see now. And you're really stepping out on faith. And as we know, faith means we're going to work and believe even though we can't see it. You know, this is just not faith without works. This is faith with works. And it depends on the level of work and the sustainability, if you will, of that particular piece of our involvement with what we say we want to do with our business. And it was interesting that I was thinking about how hard it is for us sometimes to look at the long-term results. And I saw this article that was from Princeton University, and they were conducting a study that actually talked about looking into the brain and seeing how the brain battles itself over short-term rewards and long-term goals. And the reality is, they were talking, I guess it got my attention because they were talking about food, and in the beginning they were talking about donuts, and donuts with chocolate no less, which is probably going to be one of the best things in the world. But they were talking about the fact that you saw that and you knew that you were saving your sleep allotment, they called it, for later on in the day. But if you feel like your brain is really battling one side against another, it probably is. And they found that what happens is that when a person attempts to balance near-term rewards with long-term goals, it really does, when they look at imaging in people's brains, it really does show that there are some major challenges going on. And what happens is they looked at something as simple as people who are offered the choice of $10 today or $11 tomorrow are likely to choose to get the $10 today because it's right now. But then if they gave people a choice in getting $10 in 1 year or $11 in a year and a day, then people would choose to wait the year and a day to get the $11. And even though that seems, as they put it, classically irrational, because people were really inconsistent in their treatment of the day-long time delay, but what they found is that we really are often under the influence of more than one area as far as our brains are concerned at a particular time. And what happened is that the students who had the choice of an immediate reward but chose the delayed option, the calculating regions of their brains were much more strongly activated than their emotional systems. Because you see, our emotional brain has a hard time seeing the future. Even though our logical brain clearly sees the current, the future consequences, it's like our emotional brain wants to max out the credit cards, order dessert. This article says smoke a cigarette, which, of course, I would never do. But our logical brain knows we should save for retirement, go for a jog, and quit smoking. But we don't do that. And it's sometimes the same with this business. We feel, let's say, too concerned about rejection, or we feel like we're too shy, or we're not outgoing enough, or we feel that no one in our entire state wants to buy any of our product or possibly come into business with us. And so we stop looking at the long-term effects that when people start making daily calls and adding possibilities to their name list, they will invariably get some customers and they will invariably get some people to become business associates. We get sometimes too trapped in the emotional aspects, and I'm not saying that it's easy to overcome. I don't really think you can ever overcome it, but I think if you focus on the realities of this being a business system, you can get through it. And that's why the first element when we're talking about understanding the prospect's view and actually our own view in terms of the questions is the first thing people need to know in order to decide to become involved is what we need to keep reminding ourselves, that this is a real business. And you don't have to be emotional about a real business, because business is business is business. Yes, you have to be passionate about this and you have to have some enthusiasm for it, but most importantly, I think you need to understand that it's a real business. And a real business with business systems will work if you follow those systems. And I think it's interesting that we can all pretty much relate to when we let our emotions override the logical side, but we also need to focus on ways to bring the logic back in. And I think that's what working on a specific goal plan for 90-day increments can really do for you, because you're focused on the calendar, you're focused on specific activities, and so you can move forward even on a day when you feel like no one in your entire state wants to be involved with your business. But when you're working with these particular goals, the prospecting, recruiting, and the retailing, and you're working towards some realistic goal achievement, it has to start with knowing where you are and exactly what's needed to achieve those goals. Now, here we're just talking about the October through December time frame, and I'm not going to ask you to take the basic 5 diagnostic test again, because I ask you to do that all the time. I think you should do it at least once a quarter. And I at least want you to focus on what else will it take for you to get to where you want to get to? Will you do what else it takes? And most importantly, when will you do what else it takes? Okay, in the area of what else it takes, for each of us it's going to be somewhat different. Maybe you need more possibilities. Maybe you need to make more phone calls. Maybe you need to call people that you haven't talked to in years. Maybe you just need to follow up with all the people who said they were interested, but you just haven't made the time to get back to them. Maybe you need to use more of your own products so you have a story to share. Maybe you need to go to more trainings. Maybe you need to conduct some trainings. Maybe you need to have some corings with other people in your organization. Maybe you need to talk with someone who's not in your organization. Maybe you need more money to buy some sales aids and to buy some products. I don't know, but I want you to think about what else it's going to take to get you to where you want to get to, and then will you do what else it's going to take? Now, when you talk about will you do what else it takes, I think that also has to include a can you do. You know, can I do what else it takes? Because that can really be different for many of us based on our individual circumstances. Can I do it? Do I have the time? Do I have the money, the internal motivation? Are my life circumstances right now such that I can? Is my health going to allow me? Is my family going to work with me? Am I in school? I mean, the reality is you can't do everything well. So when you're answering the question of will you do what else it takes, always consider your reality and can you do what else it takes. And that leads to the third element behind what else it's going to take, will I do what else it's going to take, when will I do what it's going to take. And sometimes our choices and our desires, they just don't match our reality. If you're working 60 hours a week, then your capability for when you're going to do it is limited. You know, if you have young children at home and you don't have any help with them, it's going to be a bit more challenging. If you don't have enough money, that's going to be a challenge. Perhaps you can do retail to increase that. I know you can do retail. You can take orders through your mall talk. You can invite people to your portal. So there are some ways to work with some of those in terms of figuring out when you're going to do it. But with some of them, like if you're working 60 hours, it's going to be much more of a challenge for you, which is why the when you're going to do what else it takes is the most challenging part. And it has, I think, the greatest impact on your sense of self, because you tend to want to think that we should do all of this well, and we should be able to. Generally, I find if you are talking to yourself through this goal achievement process and what you're going to do the next 90 days, and if you keep hearing the word should in your mind, that's generally not a really good thing. I think should is usually a value word. And I can say you should talk to 5 people a day, but that is totally unrealistic if you have 5 children at home and you're working outside the home and you come home to have to care for those children. Okay, that's ludicrous for me to say that you should talk to 5 people. But when I say should, then you think that's something you must do. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to get real clear on what you are able to do based on your particular circumstances. And obviously we need to stretch, but the reality is what we think we can do well and what we think we should do well doesn't always serve as a true indicator of how we're actually going to do in another area. And we've talked some before about translating what we do in one area of our life to another area, and why sometimes the success that many of you on this call have had in other areas of your life doesn't seem to translate into this particular business. And that's really just the way it is for many of us. I mean, I really like going to school. I recently did. It's just me. No sense for me to keep wanting to go to school. I'm actually considering going back just because. But I do well in school, and that takes commitment, it takes money usually, and it takes some discipline. But then I don't do well in sports. I mean, even your basic exercising, I don't do well in that. It also takes commitment, takes money, takes time and discipline, same things. So why doesn't my position in one part of my world work for me in the other world? You know, primarily, it doesn't work because I don't really care about participating in sports. And a lot of times, we're working towards goals with this particular business that we don't really care about. You know, that we're just making our goals because we went to a seminar and they said this would be a nice one, and this looks good on paper, and this is what people think you should do. But if you don't care about it, it's just not going to work. I mean, and the reality is for me, sports is just not that important. I don't mind watching it sometimes. When I was much, much younger, I used to participate more, but it doesn't matter. In fact, I saw something on TV the other day, which was, I must say, almost shameful, but it was on HGTV, and it was like, I guess they have this program about I Want That and all these technology toys, and I love technology. And this was, I think it was a treadmill, and so you're exercising, but this treadmill is connected to the TV. And so when you slow down on the treadmill, do you know it has the nerve to turn the TV off? I mean, like, I would have a fit. And so when you start moving more, then the TV comes back on, okay? That, for me, is probably about the only way that I would have some success in that area, okay? But it's not that serious. And for you, you have the skills to succeed in certain things. You're in customer service, you're professionals, you know how to schedule, you know how to set priorities. And so when you're considering why it's not translating, you have to just get clear, it's not the same thing. What I do in school and then sports is not the same thing. What you do at your job and what you do in network marketing business in this particular vehicle is not the same thing. So don't put that same, almost a burden, don't put that additional requirement on yourself that it ought to be a one-for-one translation. It's not a one-to-one translation. It's a different issue entirely. Use the same basic skills, being able to talk with people, knowing how to set priorities. That may translate, but it is not the same in terms of your initial level of commitment. You know, ask yourself why you do what you do at your job and elsewhere. For many of us, it was security. It's socially acceptable, or it's your only reasonable option. And that does not always equate to what's going on with this business vehicle. You know, sometimes we attend sessions or training, and, you know, what do you feel when you hear somebody say, why are you willing to work for someone else rather than work for yourself? Why would you work to make someone else rich? You know, I know that a lot of people say that, and I'm not saying that there's not some merit to that, but yes, I am saying that there's not as much merit to that as we might think, because working for other people is the reality in the world, okay? That's the reality for most people. And because you choose to do that with the majority of your life, it doesn't make you less than somebody else. It's just different. It's just like my commitment to school is not the same as my commitment to sports, which is non-existent. The fact that you work for someone else rather than work for yourself doesn't mean that you're less than people who work for themselves. It just means that you have to get to a different place in your life to make the decision necessary, if you're going to make that decision, to actively engage in building this business to a particular level. It's just different. That's all. It's not about this one's right, this one's wrong. They're just different. And we all get to choose the level of involvement we're going to have in each of those areas. And, you know, when you think about it, even if your goal is to be a top 10% income earner or a top 1%, you still have to have a real appreciation for the fact that most of the people that you bring into business with you, they're not going to want to do what it takes to be a top 10% or a top 1% earner. And that's perfectly okay, because we all want to achieve at different levels. And there are some people I know who are attorneys, and their entire focus is on becoming a law partner. That's all they want to do. If it means they have to work 50, 60, 70 hours a week, that's what they're going to do. Some people, like me, I mostly want to do pro bono work, which is work for the public good. That's where my heart is. That's where my heart was before I ever heard of Market America. Lord willing, that's where my heart's going to be until I'm gone from here. But you have to figure out where's your heart and how you're going to fund and really feel your particular passion. And the only way you can, I think, effectively do the level of work that's necessary to build this business is to get clear on that. Okay? It's about that Princeton article. What can you do to not focus on the short-term rewards and look at your long-term goals? It's not easy, but I think one of the ways to begin to do that is to get realistic about what you're doing with your business on a daily basis. And that's why I want you to look at the 90-day period, because sometimes, even for those of you who are sharing your weekly accountability reports with me, sometimes you're only forecasting for that week. And that's important But because life happens and sometimes things get in the way and maybe today you're just not feeling well, if all you have forecast is that week, then you're not really going to be in a position to step back in and recover. You see, I understand that if you schedule your follow-ups this week and you can't do them, and you already schedule follow-ups next week, then you're going to think, well, I can't put all of those in there. Maybe you can't, but you can sort of roll them forward. Okay, it's better to roll each week forward than to miss a week and then not have anything to catch up on in the next week. And the reality is, if you focus on the areas we talked about at the beginning in terms of the 90-day, what we'll call short-term goals, you'll always have some activity to be able to forecast through that month. I mean, if the reality is, if your goal is going to be to sponsor one person in the next 90 days, then you know that you're going to need to be showing the plan at least twice a week. And if you're going to show the plan twice a week, then that means you need to be adding a minimum of two possibilities to your list, which means you need to be making a minimum of at least two phone calls a day to follow up with someone to set the appointments. And you're not going to be able to schedule all those in 1 week, so you're going to schedule that I'm going to make four follow-up calls this week to people that I met, and then I'm going to have four on the list for next week. And so if something happens and you can't get to all of the four this week, you just roll one or two of them forward into next week. That's going to give you six. That isn't going to be an insurmountable amount, so you'll still be able to do it. If your goal in the retailing area is to increase your retail by 100%, and that meant I was going to hand out two mall talks a day, 10 that week, I missed 3 days and I only handed out four, there's not going to be a real challenge for me to hand out three mall talks a day the next week because I already have identified the people that I'm going to be handing them out to. You see, so those people are still going to be there. Your activity is the only piece I'm asking you to consider rolling forward instead of marking it out with an X because you didn't get it done. You know, sometimes you'll say to me via your email that you didn't add two possibilities. Well, the fact that you didn't add them doesn't mean you didn't need to add them. So just because you didn't do it this week doesn't mean that you don't next week add four, because you still have that 7-day period that went by, and that 7 days is part of your 90 days, and it's going to impact your end results. You see, so that's why it's important for you to lay out the 90 days. It might look pretty challenging sometime, but if you use the calendars with the big blocks like I do, you'll be able to pencil these in, and then when you see you didn't do something, and if you do it, you check it. If you didn't, you put a little X by it. And everything that's an X, when you sit down that night to work your next day's to-do list, and you sit down on the weekend to work your next week's schedule, every X needs to move forward until it turns into a check. Okay, because the reality is you only put those items down because they were absolutely necessary to achieving the success you wanted with a 90-day plan, right? So if you leave those out because you didn't get to them, you don't put them back in, how in the world are you going to get to the end result that you set out to achieve? It's not going to happen, because the only way it happens is if what you put down wasn't necessary. And I don't want you to put down anything that isn't necessary. Increasing retail, I want you to have things down there like handing out health awareness surveys, inviting people to watch the Dr. Dutch's Health Challenges DVD, inviting someone to go visit your web portal. All of those things that you put down there, remember, you're only putting down actions to support your daily action plan that are direct results and results producing. You're not putting fluff down here. We don't need any fluff on the schedule. This has got to be concrete daily activity designed and focused with that end goal, 31st of December, end of the year. This is what I plan to do. In prospecting and recruiting, I'm going to sponsor at least one, or I'm going to take six people to second looks, or other viable show the plan options. I'm going to create a names list with people that I actually will contact. I'm going to increase my retail by 100%. I'm going to increase my registered preferred customers by 50%. I'm going to increase my product use by one product per month. And I'm going to increase my IBV by 100%. In order for me to do that, I really have to work a schedule. And that means I need to put in front of me an October calendar, a November calendar, and a December calendar. And I need to do, as Patricia shared on the call before, I need to put all the things in it that I already have to do. All my family business, my doctor's appointments, all those things, because we want to face some reality here. And then I need to put in all the activities that I need to do to support this business. And then I'll look at that and I'll say, oh my gosh, there's no way I can do that. Okay, that might happen. But I'd rather you do it and know that than to keep proceeding and thinking that you're doing it when the reality is you aren't. It's better to pull it all down there and say, okay, well, maybe this week I'm not going to be able to hand out two Montauks a day. I'm only going to be able to hand out one. That'll be fine. So long as you know that adjustments you make to your daily activity plan always, always impact the expected and actual outcome for any goal achievement period, whether it's the 90 days, the 180 days, or 6 months, or a year, or whatever, is going to be impacted by what you actually do on a daily basis. And for most of us, we've never really looked at an entire quarter of our lives, that 3 month period, on paper and seen what it is we say we're going to do, and then at the end of the period, checking back to see if we really did it. You know, was there any piece of reality in what we say we're going to do? And the areas that you do this in and you find challenging, ask for help. You know, send an email, pick up the phone and call someone rather than wait till you're in the middle of October and then realize that you're not actually doing it. And I think personally this is a good time of the year to really re-engage with our prospecting and recruiting and our retailing. Because there's many people right now are going to be focusing on almost instant rewards. Holiday season is fast approaching. You know, that can be a big plus or a huge minus for you, depending on how you approach it. Think about prospecting and recruiting during this time of the year as offering and helping people to earn money that they want for shopping. You know, consider the fact that many of these companies are going to have end-of-year layoffs. It's because it works better for their accounting books. Think retailing. Absolutely think gift baskets. We've talked about that numerous times. Think about your own personal shopping. When you make your list of what you're going to be giving to people, always think to use your own portal. If you don't, then you go back to the first part we're talking about. You're not believing that this is a real business. If it's a real business to go to the mall, to go to Nordstrom's, why isn't it a real business to go to your own website and go to Nordstrom's? Doesn't mean that I can't go look through Nordstrom's, but I can sure go look through, enjoy that experience, and then come home and buy from myself if it's a real business. Invite other people to your website. There's other people you know who go to the same stores you do. And don't forget, the IBV is good even without the retail profit. This is really a good time, I think, to refocus and decide, you know, what you do in the next 90 days will help you decide whether 2007 is going to be the year you really focus on achieving your goals with this business. This is kind of like the trial period for you. Just figure that we're all on a trial run. You're going to work these next 90 days. And then roll that forward into the new year. Okay, I think I'm going to run out of time here shortly. The assignment I want to give you for the next 2 weeks, the next call is the 5th of October, is to create that specific plan of action. You want to do it this week, next week, so that you can actually implement the 1st of October. I think it's really important to do that because it'll help you know whether you are willing, able, and determined to sustain that level of activity into the new year. Okay? The Feed Your Mind quote for this next 2 weeks is, until you let the bird out of the cage, it never knows what kind of flyer it's going to be. And of course, I'm going to email it to those of you for whom I have your email address. Until you let the bird out of the cage, it never knows what kind of flyer it's going to be. Okay, don't forget to send me your updates, announcements, congratulations deal, anything like that. My ATG 9986 or through the group website www.allianceofachievers.com. All right, you all have a great week.